And we're back this morning on this Wednesday. Joining us in studio is Greg Lozinski with the Idaho Fish and Game and bear expert, and that's why we brought him in. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
It's good to have you. Well, there's been a lot of bear-human activity, I know, especially up in the Panhandle with black bears, which is kind of unique, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and one thing people need to realize is that when it comes to bears, Idaho has a lot of them, especially black bears. Now, we don't count them, you know, head by head, but we estimate based on harvest and available habitat, we have at least 20,000 black bears in Idaho.
20,000?
20,000. We harvest about 2,000 a year legally through hunting for the last few decades. Yep. And that's important that you have that management, because if you think of the situation we're in now, can you think if we never harvested bears? And that's what places like California and other parts of the country where they've really shut down hunting are seeing even more problems, because there's just too many bears. The habitat is too good and the populations are booming. And just like any animal, if you have too many around people, you've got problems.
Yeah.
And so up North Panhandle, we've had problems with black bears, but there's also grizzly bears up there too. And that's the thing that we've had some luck, so to speak, lately, in that the people that responded to those black bear incidents did so as they were, if they were responding to a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Which, if it would have been a grizzly bear, it would have been great. Playing dead if a grizzly bear is about to attack you is what you literally do.
Yeah.
Black bears, you don't do that. Black bears have a different psychology in that they're not the top of the heap, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And if they think something is giving in to them or that they've won, they don't just bite it and walk away like a grizzly does, because that's what a grizzly wants to do, is show you, I'm boss, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
A black bear will just start gnawing on you.
Okay.
And so it's important, especially here in our part of Idaho as well, where we have both black and grizzly bears, to know the difference. If it's a grizzly bear and it's going to attack you, that's when you lay down. If it's about to make contact, otherwise, in both cases of bears, you slowly back out of there. Never run. Yeah. We can't outrun bears. We can't outclimb bears. We can't even outswim bears. They're incredible swimmers.
Oh, wow.
So the thing you have to use is your brain. That's the only part of your body that's better than a bear's. And if it's a grizzly bear, play dead. But if it's a black bear, you scream, you fight, you punch, you let him know that you're the boss. Because inside, he really doesn't know that. And you can often intimidate him and push him off.
I know the council, when you face like a mountain lion, for instance, look as big as you can. Same thing with black bears?
Black bear, you want to intimidate.
Yeah.
Grizzly bears, on the other hand, you don't want to intimidate.
Okay.
You don't want to challenge their authority.
Try to be as subdued
yeah,
as possible.
And slowly get out of there. And again, it's important that we know the difference, because we use terms like black bear, or the scientific name for a grizzly is actually brown bear.
Yeah.
Colors are horrible ways to describe bears. We've
got
brown colored black bears. We've got black colored brown bear, grizzly bears. And so again, look for that hump on the back of a grizzly. Look for the rounded teddy bear kind of cubby face on a grizzly bear. If it's got a longer snout or longer ears, it's a black bear. So it's important to know the differences, because a black bear, if it charges, it means business. It's coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Grizzlies, half the time when they charge, it's just to see what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And that's where if you freaking run, now you got a problem. Or if you've got a firearm and it's not the right caliber and you don't have a good shot or whatever, and you shoot it, and you just wing it, now you've just made the bear mad.
What's the minimum caliber firearm you need to take out either a black or a grizzly?
Well, again, when we hunt, you can kill bears with bows and arrows, It's all about control.
Right.
And so when we're working with animals like that, we're going to be using a 12-gauge shotgun with slugs.
Mm.
Not that there aren't large caliber pistols that could work, but the important part is that, a bear is charging you, you're responding, and it's a lot different than being at the range shooting. And that's why we really do promote the use of bear spray. Overall, it's far, far more effective than a firearm in a reaction situation. People just can't grasp that, but in reality, it just throws out a cloud. It gives the bear a pain that it's never felt before.
Yeah.
And they go the other way.
So a bear, I have bear spray. In fact, you gave me some bear spray a couple of years ago, and I still have it. I've never had to use it, thankfully, but that means I'm not practiced at using it either. When you spray that, do you have to be a decent aim, or is it?
No, that's the best part about it. You just lay down a cloud in front of it and let it run right through the cloud.
Okay.
And that's the whole difference between a gun and bear spray. And so we would encourage people that when you buy regular bear spray now in the stores, they also sell training canisters. And those training canisters don't have the red pepper in there, so you can spray them and not get it on yourself because there's always a little back blow. And if you have a real can of bear spray, you don't want to waste it because most cans maybe have 9 or 10 seconds of spray in them at most. And if you're blasting 1 or 2 seconds, you've just given up, you know, part of your quote ammunition for if you really need it. So again, practice with those inert cans. And then when you're out there, just be ready to use it because most of the time when we need to use it, it's a surprise situation for both people and the bear. We have very few predatory situations, but usually people see that bear coming down the trail or it's in the camp, and you should have hopefully plenty of time to get that bear spray out and let the bear have it.
I know we probably had 3 canisters of bear spray at home. A couple of them have expired. Throw them out when they expire?
Well, no. The thing is, if you want to drop them by fishing game, we can get them to a place that can safely dispose of them because we don't want them being thrown into a garbage truck and then have them compacted.
But I guess my point is, if it's expired by, say, a year, is there still a good chance it'll work?
Technically, you know, those are liability kind of legal numbers that are on there, and they don't guarantee it either. And so the chances are, as long as the can feels like it's got something in there, that means that the O-ring has still worked. What the manufacturers recommend is that when you buy bear spray now, that you put on a really nice little digital scale, and then right on the bottom with the Sharpie, how much it weighs. Because if it loses some, then you know you got a problem with your seal in there. But if the seal is still good and that can stays shook up, hypothetically, it could last for, you know, years.
Yeah, sure.
But again, from a liability standpoint, they put those dates on there, but they're not guarantees either. So if you pick up a can and the date still says, oh, I've got a year, but it feels really light, don't trust it.
Gotcha. Now let's talk a little bit about grizzlies in our region. Mm-hmm. We've talked about black bears in the panhandle. I know it used to be that grizzlies were kind of isolated to Yellowstone Park, but their habitat has spread, and the efforts to revitalize the grizzly have been very successful.
Right. I mean, the habitat was always there, but, you know, our culture at the time was to remove all predators, and so they were pushed back to the cores of places like Yellowstone and Glacier. And thanks to the Endangered Species Act and then management with the habitat, they have definitely expanded and recovered. They're going back to places where their ancestors were 100 years ago. And the thing is, we're there more so now, too, whether it's ranching or recreation or whatever. So the chances for conflict are potentially greater. But the thing that's important for people to realize is that whether it's one bear or 100 bears, if we're doing something that is interesting or is alluring to a bear, you're going to have a problem. And so that's where a lot of work we do isn't so much with the bears. We study the bears, but we actually work with the people to educate them how to live around bears. Because people say they want bears around. You know, people in Island Park love knowing that there's bears around. They just don't love having that bear on their back porch tearing open a refrigerator.
Right.
So part of what we tell people is probably don't put a refrigerator on your back porch in Island Park. You know, I mean, it's just asking for trouble. And so a lot of simple things that we can do with garbage or bird feeders keep the bears out of trouble, allow us to know that they're in the woods and see them if we want or hunt them or whatever. But, you know, they will expand to wherever we allow them to. And if we don't allow them, then they won't expand. It's that simple. Bears can live anywhere we let them.
Now, it seemed, at least from a perceptual standpoint, that this year we've seen a lot less human-bear interaction in the Island Park area. Mm-hmm. Reasons for that?
Well, a lot of what we have to has to do is with just things like precipitation, how the winter was, how the spring was, as far as moisture when it came, what the berry crop looks like. At this point, compared to last year, we have had half the known mortalities or fatalities in the Yellowstone ecosystem. So we've only had like a dozen, where this time last year we had 25. And a lot of those
bear fatalities.
Bear feet, not human, I mean, Idaho has never had a person killed yet by a black or grizzly bear in the history of the state.
Really?
Yes, we've had attacks. And we did have one fellow who is a grizzly trapper or killer back in the pre-state days, and he got sloppy on bear 100, literally, up by salmon.
Okay.
And that bear took him out. But that was before we were a state, so we won't claim that. But ever since then, we've not had a fatality, either species. Now, each year we do have incidents where we have people attacked. But again, no one has been fatally injured. And today, our fishing game crew is out there working what we call the Wildlife Human Attack Response Team, the WART team.
Yeah.
And around here, a big part of our responses are due to bear attacks. And so we're out there training. What do we do as far as helping the person? What do we do at the scene to collect data as far as DNA and that so we can figure out what bear it was? How do we secure the scene? How do we work with the media? Mm-hmm. All the things are important to do if an animal attacks a person. And around here, it's going to be probably a bear, Pocatello, mountain lions have happened, or even we've had mule deer attacks. So it's not just predators, but in our case, it's probably going to be a bear because, again, our numbers are fairly healthy and they are just about everywhere in the woods. I mean, we are in, if you're listening to this radio station, you're in bear country. Black bears, 100%, and grizzly bears, pretty good, you know, depending on where you're at. And so people just need to think about that. I don't want to leave things laying out that are going to be attractions.
Before the interview, you were saying there's a lot of bear stuff going on this week, right?
Yeah. Well, today is Smokey Bear's 73rd birthday. So yay, Smokey. And we are celebrating his birthday at our teacher workshop we're having in Island Park, where we have teachers from all across the state coming to learn about bears. It's Wild About Bears. It's a 2-credit college course. Hmm. And we teach about the biology of bears, the ecology, how humans interact with them, and not just in our part of Idaho, but the whole state. So it's a lot of fun, and that's our goal, is to teach the teachers so they can teach others. And I've been fortunate that I've been able to do that in Europe, and I'll even be going to Japan this fall to help their teachers learn about bears, because they have both Asiatic black bears and even grizzly bears in Japan. People don't realize that. Oh. And so they need to know about bears as well. And so the program that we do here is actually internationally known, and they're bringing us out to teach.
Oh, fantastic. Greg Lozinski, Idaho Fish and Game. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Neil.